From the Brock's Jelly Bean Factory in Belchertown, Massachusetts, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the best dressed, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, Illinois State Scholar, lifelong politician who's won more elections than he's lost, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, get ready, marksman, sculptor, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who's watched every single episode of Gilligan's Island at least 14 times. That's right, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
That's a great intro. That music was wonderful. Absolutely. Was this the Bow Wow Wows version?
I think of...
I Want Candy.
I Want Candy. You know, that's known as the Bo Diddley beat.
Okay, yeah. I hear that. I dig it.
Bo Diddley beat, for those who don't know, is shave and a haircut, 2 bits.
Shave and a haircut, 2 bits.
Yeah, think about it. Dun, 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 dun. Shave and a haircut, 2 bits. That's the Bo Diddley beat.
All right. But,
and Bo Diddley originated that.
Did he ever do the actual song, I Want Candy?
No, I Want Candy is stolen from Bo Diddley.
Okay, and I'm not sure how many people have done I Want Candy. I know that Aaron Carter did it, and I know that the Bow Wow Wows did a really wonderful version of it, actually.
That's a pretty good version.
Yeah.
So I was going to talk about candy.
Wait a minute. Before you do...
Do I have something stuck in my teeth?
No, this thing about having watched every episode of Gilligan's Island 14 times.
I've watched them 15.
I think you're selling me short, man. We'd come home from school, throw the books down, and then flop down in front of the TV and we'll start watching Gilligan's Island.
I know, and the fact that you've seen them all.
Didn't matter.
Not a little Japanese guy that crawls out of the brush that's like a soldier left over from World War II.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking that because when you came in, we were watching a Godzilla movie.
Godzilla!
You know, I sat down. I was going to watch the original Godzilla movie, you know, Japanese.
A man in a plastic suit coming up out of a swimming pool.
And it takes like half an hour before you get to see Godzilla.
There's a lot of buildup to it. A lot of buildup.
I mean, I know, but you're watching it and it's all in Japanese. There's no subtitles or anything if you find the original. That's a long time to wait for Godzilla.
Yeah.
This new one we were watching upstairs, Godzilla Minus
One. It's
like
released last year or something.
Yeah,
right?
Brand new. I think it won Academy Award for Best Special Effects or something.
I don't see that. From what I've watched of it, that was an Oscar quality monster for my money.
Well, it was better than a guy in a rubber suit.
Yeah, it was better than a guy in a rubber suit. Maybe that's why they gave it the Oscars, because most improved monster.
Most of your Godzillas of recent time have them set in modern day time.
Yeah, and they haven't. Fighting some other creature, like fighting King Kong.
Yeah. This Godzilla, the new movie just made, set in World War II, when Godzilla was at his prime. But what I was about to say about the movie is, 5 minutes into it, Godzilla pops out of the water and starts his rampage. No waiting around for an hour listening to people talking Japanese.
Right, and he's not just pushing his way through some town knocking over plastic buildings. He's eating people and stepping on people and smashing airplanes, and he was really doing some damage.
Like a glorified T-Rex, though.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it owes a lot to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it does. Actually, the Jurassic Park dinosaurs are better.
Yeah. You mean in the first one? As the years went by on Jurassic Park, they opted more and more for a lot more CG that was just...
Too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
I agree.
Went over the top, Rick. I agree. But in that first one, when the T-Rex gets in close and it shows his eye dilate.
Yeah. Nice touch.
Nice touch, yeah.
I agree. I agree.
They went all in.
Although in real life, their eyes did not dilate. That was just added to make modern day viewers appreciate it more.
Okay. And who can prove that?
Well, you can't. That's the point.
Okay. So then let them have their movie fun.
I did.
Okay.
I didn't write in.
But you're complaining about it.
It just bothered me.
Okay. I want candy.
Okay.
We all love candy.
Do love candy. You know, and one of the highlights of the podcast is that we generally have candy here.
Lots of it. Candy snacks. It isn't all candy. Classic candy.
Well, we got a big bag of trail mix left over from Dr. Fong.
It has a little bit of candy in it.
Dr. Fong left that from his visit 2 weeks ago.
That was interesting. We don't have a lot of outsiders come in.
I wonder why.
Yeah. We'll have them come in twice.
Yes.
All right, we're going to talk about candy.
Yeah. You know, you would think...
What's your favorite candy before we get started here?
I'd have to say Reese's Mini Peanut Butter Cups.
Are they?
Not the big ones. The ratio of peanut butter to chocolate is not good on the big ones, but the small ones, it's perfect.
I like just a classic chocolate bar. Like a Hershey's chocolate or a Nestle's chocolate or a Cadbury's chocolate. Chocolate.
Well, back in your beer drinking days, did you just buy a can that said beer when you went to the store?
No, but I drank like a Pabst Blue Ribbon or a Busch beer or, you know, something with a name. And I just said I like Hershey's chocolate. I like Nestle's chocolate. I like Cadbury chocolate.
Yeah, I mean,
chocolate.
You just said plain. But, I mean, you know, there's more to life than just plain chocolate.
Going out somewhere and finding something that's just generic chocolate, you know. It's a white wrapper with says chocolate on it.
I just had this picture of you eating chocolate and looking like... Hansel and Gretel in that Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Got chocolate all over their face.
Huh? Yeah, it's good. But the eating noises that they're making. They're just fat, messy little children.
Yeah. You know, but the candy world is a fluid business.
In what respect?
In the... There are, of course, some candy bars that have been around for a million years and they're still here, but there's a lot of them that come and go, and I've given you a list of come and goes there.
Let's just see what we got here, Rick.
Well, first off, there's also a list of the world's worst tasting candies, but that's later. But the first page there on your has a list of candies that have come and gone.
These have come and gone?
Yeah, some of them.
A Nestle Chocolate Light Bar. There's just no joy in that, is there? Why? Here's a diet candy bar.
Yeah, it's like a caffeine-free Pepsi. What's the point?
You know, the weird part is, you know, you can still go to, like, a store and get, like, if you went to, like, Walgreens, they have a sugar-free candy section.
I know, but that's people who are dealing with, you know, diabetes and issues like that.
And still love candy.
Yeah, and still love candy.
And can.
Yeah, and I don't mean to belittle those people by saying, why would you eat sugar-free candy?
Well, I'm not belittling them, but I'm just saying that if I'm a non-diabetic person and...
I'm eating the real deal.
I'm looking at, you know, the full-bone candy or the diabetic candy over here, and as much as I do sympathize with their issues, well, what I'm doing is making sure that I don't take... the diabetic candy to make sure that it's available to them.
That's kind of.
And they're not forced to eat the full-blown sugared up stuff. But you know, Nestle Chocolite Bar.
It might as well be gone.
Forget it. Butterfinger BBs.
You remember them? Yeah, I thought those were pretty good. I don't know why they stopped making Butterfinger.
It was like
BBs.
A Butterfinger, you know, in an M&M size or, you know.
Yeah, but they were
bigger.
Covered with chocolate. But you know, those, you know how they say M&Ms don't melt in your
they
hand?
They will.
Well, those butterscotch BBs really did.
Butterfinger BBs, yeah. Marathon bar. I loved marathon bars.
I did, too.
They were like this twisty caramel chocolate-covered thing, and it took a while to eat one.
I know.
They had them at that store right across the street from our grade school, Tri-City Grocery. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And they had that candy section right up front.
Were you allowed to go to Tri-City from the grade school?
No, but Chuck would. You gave Chuck some change, he would go across the street. You know, he was that bold one that would do the defiant act.
Chuck Ringhausen was our cousin that lived next door who you could talk into doing things.
It was the challenge.
And Chuck had a weakness for candy.
Oh, man. He loved a marathon bar.
Enough so that he was willing to skip out at the Catholic school and risk his life by running over to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, before the buses came. Yeah. There was that gap time when everybody was kind of lined up.
Yeah.
And there was you were taking a chance.
Because you missed the bus, you're stuck.
You're stranded.
We were 20 miles from school.
Thank God for Chuck.
And then you'd have to call someone to come get you.
That could never be good. PB Max. I do kind of remember. PB Max, that wasn't that many years ago, was it?
No, but it was just all peanut butter.
It was too much. There was no balance.
That's what I said there, too. You know, going back to the bus for a second, I was talking with my daughter about carrying your lunch on the bus, and what a bad thing it was if you left your lunch on the bus, then you had to be a beggar at school.
Yeah,
and rely,
you were the scavenger,
rely on the charity of other people.
And what did you get if you got the things that nobody else wanted?
Is there anyone that can give Alan part of your lunch today?
Here are my celery sticks, Alan. Enjoy.
And Gina said,
"Plane? These are plane?"
Gina said, "But then you'd get to eat your lunch on the way home." I said, "Gina, you'd get on the bus, and everything—it was like mice had gotten it. Everything worth eating was gone,
and the rest of it was smashed into your assigned seat."
Yeah, I could still be there. Because here's the thing, they dumped the Catholic kids off first, and then it was the grade school, high school kids on the rest of the bus going the rest of the way. There wasn't any snacks or anything going to make it the next three blocks over.
Right, but if it had been the other way around to where the public school kids got dropped off first and had forgotten their lunch, we would have made an effort to make sure that it was still there.
Yeah. You know, the thing I remember is our mother would write our
name
and school and what grade we were in, so that when your lunch was left behind, they would know where to bring it to.
Right. How did that ever help?
Well, first off, the bus driver never looked back over his shoulder if he didn't have to, and he sure as the chute wasn't going to go down the aisle of the bus after all the kids left to see what's there.
You know, you got to admire those bus drivers that didn't interfere in anything. It's like, kids will sort it out on their own. Just leave them be. All I'm here to do is drive the bus from one location to another without laying down a bunch of BS rules.
And the ones who tried to enforce rules, it just had
got ridiculed.
Just had turmoil on the bus.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't going anywhere. All right, now, no throwing anything. What'd that mean? Everybody threw stuff.
Because the bus driver had his authority wasn't inherent in him. He was going to have to turn you into somebody else.
Right.
It wasn't that he himself had the authority to just come back.
When did you ever see a bus driver dole out discipline?
Yeah. He didn't have the paddle.
It didn't happen. Didn't happen. Powerhouse candy bar.
Those were pretty good, too.
I loved the Powerhouse. That was one of my favorite candy bars. Where did we get our Powerhouse candy bars from, Rick?
Jim's Packaged Liquor, didn't
No.
He? Where'd you get them from?
Grandpa Ringhausen would bring them to the house.
Oh, yeah, he would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I think are those ones you put in the freezer and they kind of, you smack them and they break into pieces?
You could.
Yeah.
That was one of their distinctions. Space dust.
I saw that on the list, but I wasn't sure what space dust was. Do you remember that?
It was just a finer version of Pop Rocks. I do remember space dust. It'd like sizzle on your tongue. A 7-Up bar.
7-Up bars were interesting. They had they were in 7 pieces, and each piece was something different.
You know, I just vaguely remember those.
It's like a sampler platter of candy.
Yeah, which is actually a pretty good idea, but they probably didn't sell as many candy bars because people develop favorites from it.
Yeah, you'd break off the part you want and give the rest to your little brother.
Milkshake bar. I remember milkshake.
Those were good candy
milkshake
bars.
Milkshake was wonderful.
You know, to me, this stands for the proposition that people in the candy business didn't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Altoid Sours.
Oh, yeah. That really does seem like a good thing to have gotten rid of. Because Altoid mints, have you had Altoid mints? They're kind of... They're in a cool tin can, which is neat.
Like they're too much, though.
It's like it's training you to carry a chewing tobacco can.
Yeah, it was just a little too harsh for me. I don't mind not having
Altoid candies.
Hershey's Gold. What was Hershey's Gold?
Hershey's Gold was kind of like a combination of a Snickers bar and a Baby Ruth.
Hershey's Gold was a caramelized cream bar with pretzels and peanuts.
I remember now.
There's the problem.
The
right
pretzels.
There.
Why would you put pretzels? It's like putting carrots in Jell-O.
Yeah. They don't go together.
You put pretzels in your candy bar.
That ain't right.
Like that.
Butterfinger peanut butter cups.
You know,
I want a peanut butter cup. I just want a peanut butter cup.
You don't want it crunchy?
I don't want that stuff in it, because my mind is telling me that it's a peanut butter cup.
Because it's been trained.
And then if I go and eat that, I'm thinking, well, somebody dropped something in it in the factory, and I shouldn't be eating this.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Like it's got fingernails in it.
Wonka bars. You can't get a Wonka bar anymore?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Wonka bars were good.
I don't think there's any Wonka products left anymore.
Nothing.
No.
Not a Scrumdiddlyicious bar?
Or Oompa Loompas.
Oompa Loompas were wonderful. Discontinued.
Because Oompa Loompas are like, they have, now they have M&Ms that are the peanut butter M&Ms. But Oompa Loompas had a half peanut butter and half chocolate in them.
Bug City Candy Tarts. Do not remember those. Did you have Bug City?
I'm not eating any candy that has the word bug in it.
Butternut candy bar. Is that the nuttery buttery? Butternut.
Yeah.
And they had the singing cow?
Yeah, I think so.
Nuttery buttery. Nuttery buttery. Butternut.
Wow, are you old?
Remember that?
No, I don't remember that. You're older than I
am. Come on, man.
Nuttery buttery? No.
I do remember Caravelle candy bars. They stopped making Caravelle candy bars?
You need to go to the candy store more often. You've said that like 8 times now.
Ah. Huh. Okay, Wonka donuts? Do they really have that?
I don't know. There's no point to that.
What are bonkers? Rectangular candy with a chewy, fruity outside. Something like a Starburst.
Yeah, but then they had
fruit filling.
They had, didn't they have like a hard, like crunchy outside that was kind of bumpy? I think so.
Okay.
You know, this
idea.
This makes me think of candies that from my childhood a little bit. And what I really think about is going to visit our grandparents, because now, you know, you're talking about your grandparents. Their ideas of candy came from like the 1920s, like 100 years ago, right? And you'd go there, and that's where you would get your things like circus peanuts, you know, those wrapped up root beer things.
Oh, yeah, those were awful.
And you'd go in there and be...
Like your hard candies, like peppermints, individually wrapped, butterscotch.
Or there'd be a bowl of candies, and they would be like hard with pastel colors on them.
Yeah, like ribbon candy type. Yeah. Things. Yeah. Christmas candy, they called it.
Yes, but, you know.
Horrible, horrible, horrible.
And none of it was wrapped. Together. None of it was wrapped.
Right.
You know, there's nothing to say that your little brother didn't suck on one and go, this is terrible, and put it back in the dish.
You couldn't put it in your pocket and carry around. And then Dad would say, oh, yes, you can, and pull out some lint-covered candy. Help yourself, boys.
Or black licorice. When's the last time you went to a store and saw strings of black licorice? Like long strings of it. Remember you used to be able to buy long strings
still,
of licorice?
You can still do that. Oh, the licorice whips?
Yeah.
Those were great, weren't they?
Yeah.
You kind of drape around your neck and then just kind of eat as you go. You know?
No. Yeah. But there would be some kids.
Wrap it around your arm.
Some kids that would get that licorice or black licorice.
Yeah.
And it would look just like the wires on your headphones.
Yeah. I can eat black licorice. I like black licorice.
Oh, get out.
Oh, I swear to
Since
God.
Since when?
Black jelly beans, like those too.
The only person in our family that ever eat them was Dad.
And it gets your tongue tingly.
Does it actually have liquor in it?
Oh, yeah. It gets you high.
Well, not. That's the cannabis whips you can buy now.
You know, I bet you can. Okay. So the this is a different category of candy here, I take it. And on the list is circus peanuts. Are you?
Hold on, wait. I got a commercial for you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's Dog Inch Ointment. Sick and tired of watching your dog drag his bottom across the new carpets? The old anal inch medicine's no longer doing the trick for Fido. Well, don't just hit the dog with a newspaper. Address the cause, not the symptom. Just grab a tube of Dr. Ferd's Dog Inch Ointment. Squeeze out a generous amount onto your hand and apply it liberally to the dog at the base of his tail where it connects to his rump. In no time whatsoever, your dog will be howling a song of blessed relief and licking your face in joy. Don't wait another doggone minute. Reach out to Dr. Ferd today. Not for human consumption. Didn't really fit in with the candy theme, did it?
Not many people shake your hand, do they?
No, you don't eat out of the bowl of candy that's where they're not wrapped either. If in my house, do you?
Oh God, no. Anywhere, but especially not your house. Before I get too far here, I was out looking at a piece of property south of St. Louis today.
St. Louis is a city in Missouri. Yeah. For our international visitor.
And I was looking at this piece, and the property was in a floodplain and kind of like real swampy and had like these seasonal pools of water.
Yeah.
And the guy who owned it was, you know, talking about selling it and stuff, and I was asking different questions about it.
Whether there's full of gators?
Finally, I got to the question of, you know, wildlife in the area. And he says, oh, yeah, we've got lots of birds. We see eagles. We see egrets. We see herrings. We see red-winged blackbirds. I said, what about mammals? He says, oh, yeah, there's beaver and muskrat and deer and coyotes. And I said, what about reptiles, amphibians? He said, oh, yeah, a wide selection of frogs out in here, turtles, snapping turtles. We even have the snakes, various kinds. He said, and, of course, last year we caught an alligator in here. I said, you saw an alligator or you actually caught an alligator? He said, we caught him. And he was about 2.5 feet long and very much alive. And we got him and we put him in a tub here and we're trying to decide what to do with it. And
get out of town. You're in Missouri.
In Missouri. And he said, finally, one of the guys brought up the fact that this is a invasive species and they're illegal to have in your possession in the state of Missouri.
So you killed it.
No, they called the conservation police and they came and took
killed it. Oh, yeah. Now it's a mascot up at the Missouri Department of Conservation office.
They took it to some college campus.
And killed it.
Biology department.
And killed it.
I think that if you find an invasive species on your property.
You can kill it.
Yeah, I think you can.
I think so, too.
Out of fear.
They're thinking somebody, like, dropped it off there?
They figure it came off a barge coming up from south, because when you're going from Louisiana up to St. Louis.
You don't go through any locks.
Not a single lock or dam. It's open river from that point. So, you know, if these barges pick up an alligator, you know, like a hitchhiker along the way, you know, in warm conditions, they'll unload and, you know, if the barge stops, they swim away.
Do gators hitchhike on barges? I didn't know that.
They will.
What about trains?
No.
You know that?
Not unless you got a ticket. And baggage, which of course would be gator luggage.
Okay. I also got you a list of what I found, according to the internet, the worst tasting candies that there are. And that's that second page.
Circus peanuts. They sell a bunch of them, but I don't those even
are,
know.
Those are just old candies. No, the bad tasting ones are in the other page. Yeah.
They oh. Are. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Most disgusting candies ever.
The companies made these and sold them to human beings.
Earwax candy.
And it's really nothing disgusting. It's just a like a paste, but it's sold in a little plastic ear, and you spoon it out of the ear opening and eat it.
No, what kind of a marketing idea was that?
That's good. There's a group of people. Chuck would have went and got one of them, came back with a little ear and spooning out wax, eating it. No, besides, you know, back
I
in the day,
I don't know that I could eat that.
Back in the day, you know, they sold those wax, like wax lips and wax teeth.
Right. Yeah.
You know, kids would eat them.
Yeah.
You could chew on them forever.
Yeah. And they were just like awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that's what that earwax candy is.
No, I'm sure it was. The next is not much better. Candy scabs. It's like, look like a scab cut. That you would stick to your skin and then peel it off and eat it in front of, you know, like the squeamish kids in your class.
Yeah, but you know, my recollection.
Oh, the scab's about to. Look at that scab right there.
My recollection is we had a kid in the grades between us that
would eat real scabs.
He'd pick his scabs off and eat them. And when you get right down to it, scabs dump.
That's just part of your body,
just
right?
Just a piece of skin.
Just a piece of you.
Hey, if you're going to eat your fingernails.
Okay, here's one that I have, honest to God, never heard of. Double Zout.
What is Double Zout? What's the description there?
It says, the first thing this Dutch candy, there's the problem right there, it's Dutch, and those people over there don't, except for the ones that listen to this show. Dutch candy.
We have a listener in the Netherlands.
As going to guess it is that it's licorice flavored to start off with.
Well, you just said you like it. You might really like
maybe
this.
I would.
Whatever it is.
A lot of people voted for. Okay. The next problem is that this is licorice made with an enormous amount of salt. Salty licorice. Yeah, I might like that. I like salty things. I like licorice.
Have you ever, you know, those salt blocks you'd have for cattle?
Yeah.
Did you ever lick one?
No.
Never?
No.
Me neither.
Well, that leads me into the next candy.
But boy, those cows lick them. They make them look like they really tasty.
They do. They do look like, yeah.
Hey, you look at an old salt block that starts off, you know, in the shape of just a giant, like, concrete block. And once they've had it for a while, it'll just be like, have its slick spots where they've grooved out their tongues and licked the salt block. Looks delicious.
Mm-hmm. Hot Licks candy.
Okay, which is?
It's these like clear chunks of candy. It looks kind of like an ice cube. It's like a lollipop.
Yeah.
But the candy on the end is clear.
Yeah.
And inside of it is a scorpion.
You mean a real one?
It says in each one of these tasty candies is a real life scorpion. That's right. When you lick through the sugar coating, you get to chow down on the scorpion.
Assuming it's not poisonous, then, if they're selling them.
I'm assuming the stinger's been removed. But it's a real... Well, who would do that?
Like, you know, like when you lick a Tootsie Pop, you know, you're getting a piece of chocolate in the middle, not a scorpion.
Okay, here's another. Okay, this one is an Asian candy.
Yeah.
That's... I don't know that it ever made it to America, but it was popular apparently in Korea, and it's called Gorilla Boogers. And on the label of the candy, they have a gorilla picking its nose.
Yeah, but it's not really gorilla, you know. Boogers, right?
The Gorilla Boogers in the package are actually dried black beans, sweetened.
I guess that's better.
Okay, here's another Asian candy. It just blows my mind. It's tuna flavored candy called Tuna Tidbits.
Mmm.
It was popular with vegetarians in the hippie movement.
Tuna candy, fish flavored candy.
Fish flavored candy. Wow.
You're that Japanese exchange student we had.
Yeah.
When he brought his snacks down to.
Yeah. There were some awful looking things in there.
And they all smelled like fish.
They stunk.
But they were like chips that smelled like fish.
Right. It was like squid chips and
I think he had some fish candy.
Seaweed chips.
He had some fish candy, too. Yeah, everything he had smelled like fish.
Yeah. It was pretty terrible.
What else you got?
He was very thin. We've got Cricettes. That's right. They're candy-flavored crickets. I mean, they're real crickets that they've, you know, like put sugar on. And dried them up, and they're boiled, and then dried, and then sugarized, and packaged.
Well, I think people eat crickets anyway, don't they?
Well,
and that these are the candies.
I don't.
These are the candies, though.
We could even get Chuck to eat a cricket.
I'll bet Moose Clunk would eat a cricket.
Well, you know, for a price,
like a dare.
Larry was more monetarily motivated. But we can talk about that later because we're out of time, Rick. Because candy just
flew by,
distracted us here way too much.
Okay. So, well, we can always when Halloween comes, we can revisit that.
There you go. That's fair enough. All right. Well,
see you later.
From Alligator
and Rick Gator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Uncle Dan's Candy Scabs. If you're going to pick a scab, pick one of Uncle Dan's. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog's coughing, it's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.